So let's go to the book of Acts. We are, did I turn this on? I did. Okay, we are in Acts 26, and Paul has been this big hearing hall. There's all these important people around. We've talked about all this for some weeks now. We have Herod Agrippa and his sister Bernice are in the hall. The governor of the province is there, Porcius Festus. The leading men of the city are there. The tribunes are there. So these are all the movers and shakers in Caesarea Maritima. And so so Paul has been giving his testimony, his defense or apology, he calls it, before Agrippa. And in that section, we went over his testimony, how he had been a persecutor and how he had been confronted by the Lord on the road to Damascus. And there was a great change in his life as he went through all of that experience. And so we looked at that whole section, the testimony part of this hearing, as one big message dealing with all of those verses. And now in the last few weeks, I've been going back and picking up a few details that I found striking within the message. So the first one that we looked at was the crucial test of genuine Christianity. We were talking about persecution in that one, and we realized or found that our security lies in Christ alone, not in the strength of our will or our convictions. It's not, not how well you can stand up against the persecution, but how well Christ will stand up for you. So that was one thing that we looked at. And then we looked at that phrase that Paul used about kicking against the goads. And we saw there that Paul meant to say very plainly to his Gentile hearers that if they rejected the message of God that he offered to them, that they indeed were opposing God himself, and that there was an antagonism in their hearts towards God. And that was a very key message that he was giving out. So now we're going to turn to one more detail in this passage. It's right at the end of the section where Paul is giving his testimony, and it is it has a really a marvelous statement that the Lord gives Paul in his vision about what the gospel is and the purpose that he is sending Paul on this mission. I've entitled the message, The Mission of Enlightenment. Our text is Acts 26:18. I'm going to begin reading in verse 16. And we will go through to verse 18. But verse 18 is the thing that we're going to concentrate on. So this is the Lord speaking to Saul. But get up and stand on your feet. For this purpose I have appeared to you, to appoint you a minister and a witness, not only to the things which you have seen, but also to the things in which I will appear to you, rescuing you from the Jewish people and from the Gentiles, to whom I am sending you, to open their eyes, so that they may turn from darkness to light, and from the dominion of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who have been sanctified by faith in me. So in our passage, the Lord gives Paul his authority for the ministry. This ministry has a very specific purpose which will enable specific results. Now, you all know, I am sure, what it is like to see indistinct objects clearly when the right lens is before your eyes. You use a magnifying glass, or some of us wear lenses to help us to be able to see. I am obliged to wear lenses at all times. My eyes are very weak. If I didn't have my contact lenses in, everything past about here, about 6 inches, would be blurry. And the further out, the blurrier it would get. I identify with the man in the Gospels whom the Lord healed in two stages. And after the first stage, he said, I see men as trees walking. And that's what if I didn't have my contacts in, that's what I would see. And in fact, I think I'm due to go to the doctor and get them adjusted, because I'm noticing distant things are not quite the way they should be. lately. But anyway, the everything without the lenses is indistinct. Other objects are so difficult to discern that everyone must use lenses to see anything about them at all. So there are very far objects that you could not make out, even with perfect vision, without using a telescope. So you'll need an extra sort of lens to help you to see what it is you're looking at. And there are very small objects that require microscopes to distinguish details. And it is amazing what you can find. When we were in junior high school, we had a teacher, a science teacher, who was keen on getting us out doing things. So one of the things he did is took us out to a slough, which is just standing water in a low spot in the prairies. And we were to collect specimens. We weren't supposed to go in over the tops of our boots, but of course, we were in junior high. So we did. And I'm not sure I'm not sure what was in that water. I'm not sure how wise that was. No, I don't think anybody got sick, but we all were in the water. And then we came back, and my lab partner and I, in that little drop of water we put on the microscope, we were looking for things, living things in that water. And indeed we found a living thing. And we found this little tiny single-celled creature. And in fact, it was in the process of dividing. You've heard about that. So that was quite a marvelous experience. The best part about it was, since we had discovered it, we were allowed to stand at our post at the microscope for the rest of the day. We didn't have to do any other classes. We could just watch the microscope. That was absolutely the best part of the whole thing. Anyhow, our verse is one that applies a clarifying lens to the gospel and helps us understand what is going on. And I think it's really quite a marvelous statement. Now, I want you to notice a couple of things before we get into the verse, and that is a brief opening grammar lesson. So I don't mean to be too detailed, but I do want to point out a couple of things. So first of all, I need to point out three infinitives. Now, if you've got the text, I thought about putting that verse on the screen, but I thought, okay, I've got enough here that you should be able to get this. So three infinitives in the verse. Look at verse 18 again. To open their eyes. That's the first infinitive. And then it says, to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness. That's the second infinitive, turning from darkness. And then a little bit further in the verse where it says, that they may receive forgiveness. That's the third infinitive. Now, I am, as I go through this, there are several ideas that infinitives can express. And I don't want to get into a lot of technical details, but I'm going to give you these two particular main ideas that infinitives are used for. Some are used to express purpose. Some are to express purpose. Others are used to express result. All right? And those are the most common ways the infinitive works in the Greek language. So then let's look again at our verse and look at it this way. So it says, the main verb, I am sending you. That's in verse 17. I am sending you. Why? What's the purpose? To open their eyes. So that first infinitive is a purpose statement. And then you'll notice that our translation says, so that they may turn from darkness to light. That's a result statement. And then again, and that they may receive is also a result statement. So in a way, these latter two infinitives are subordinate to the purpose infinitive. The purpose that must be fulfilled, it makes the result possible. Now, the King James doesn't quite give us that translation. It'll say, to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light. All right? And that's not an incorrect translation, but it just doesn't bring out the sense of result that is part of that second part of the verse. All right, so I'm pointing all this out, sort of laying some groundwork. And the reason I'm doing that is I want you to remember this because I have a big point I want to make later on in the message. So our text again, I'm going to have that on the side for the whole message. I am sending you to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the dominion of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who have been sanctified by faith in me. So that's our text. Here's the proposition. The mission of enlightenment enables the transformation of souls. And perhaps the key word in all of that is the word enables. Well, we're going to start with talking about the purpose of the preacher, the mission that he is sent on. I am sending you to open their eyes. That's his purpose. That was the purpose of Paul as he went into his mission. The problem with the lost hearer, the problem with the one who hears the gospel, who isn't a believer, is his eyes are closed. He's in darkness or he's in blindness, and he is unable to comprehend the truth of God on his own. We use this metaphor is used many times in the Bible, the idea of blindness and darkness. And it refers to human depravity. You know something about the doctrine of depravity, that because of Adam, all men are born sinners. That doesn't mean that we are all as bad as we could be, but it does mean that we all have a tendency to drift towards evil. We have a tendency to do things that are wrong. We have a tendency to think in ungodly ways. We have a tendency to respond selfishly. We have a tendency to desire our own way above others. We have a tendency to want to take advantage of other people. We have a tendency to do things that we sort of know are wrong, but if we can get away with it, we think, well, we're okay. That's human depravity. And you no doubt can recognize that in yourself, that you have that tendency inherited from Adam and inclined to sin. But one of the other aspects of depravity is that it has blinded men to the gospel. They cannot understand or comprehend the truth of God's word. It is something that is hidden from them. It is something that they don't comprehend. Even Jesus speaks of this when he talks about speaking to the people in parables, that he speaks to them obscurely. It was a very frightening statement. He speaks to them obscurely, lest they should see and understand and repent and believe. It would be a horrible thing to be a person who is subjected to that kind of judgment from God. Now, Ephesians 4 describes this in verses 17 and 18. So he says this, "So this I say and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk, in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart." When we get to the end of this message by Paul, as he's testifying before Agrippa and Festus and all the crowd of dignitaries, Festus is going to break out and say, "Paul, much learning has made you mad." What is the problem with Festus? He's in darkness. He's blind. He can't see. He's excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that was in him. However, what we see in our text is that the purpose of the sending was so that Paul could open blind eyes. To open blind eyes. All right. So let's look at a couple of other metaphors in Scripture that carry this same idea. There is a sense in which this message to Paul from the Lord Jesus on the Damascus Road is very similar, as it's recorded here, to what is said of the servant in Isaiah 42, verse 6 and 7. "I am the Lord, I have called you in righteousness." I should pause for a second and say, when this is the Lord, the Father speaking here, Jehovah, "I have called you in righteousness," the "you" he's referring to is the servant, the figure in Isaiah's prophecies who we know to be the Messiah. So this is the Jehovah speaking to Messiah. I have called you in righteousness. I will also hold you by the hand and watch over you, and I will appoint you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the nations, to open blind eyes, to bring out prisoners from the dungeon, and those who dwell in darkness from the prison. And so the mission of the Messiah is indeed the very same mission on which he sent the Apostle Paul, to open blind eyes, to open blind eyes. It's something that he then transferred to his servants, the Lord Jesus did. In Luke 24, verse 46 to 48, it says, "And he said to them, thus it is written, that the Christ would suffer and rise again from the dead the third day, and that repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." You are witnesses of these things. And so opening blind eyes is the mission of the apostles. It is the stated purpose that that the Lord was giving to the Apostle Paul there on the Damascus Road. I am sending you to open their eyes. I am sending you for this purpose. All right, so the next thing that we want to notice in our text, we have this purpose, sending you to open their eyes, the essential result for the believer. There are a couple of things that this mission of enlightenment does. A couple of results that are described in our passage. First of all, opened eyes enables the transition from one spiritual realm to another. Notice the result statement. To open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light. Now, I just said that in man's lost condition, in his depravity, he is in darkness. He doesn't really understand the gospel. He doesn't really get what Jesus Christ is all about. If he knows anything about Jesus Christ at all, it's something that is a mystery to him. He doesn't really get his own lost condition. Doesn't really get how far he is away from God. Doesn't really believe that God has anything against him. Basically, he thinks of himself as a pretty decent person. And often I've had people say that to me who weren't very decent people, even by human standards. But I'm a pretty good guy, they'll say. Well, okay, I'm glad you think that. That shows that you're in darkness. And Paul, the Father's purpose, the Lord's purpose for Paul was to send him to people to open their eyes, to show them that they were in darkness, to show them that they were lost, to show them that they were blind, to show them that their understanding was completely awry and askew, and that they didn't understand the truth of God's word at all. So the purpose is meant to achieve a result that the mind is opened and the understanding is enlightened. That's why I call it the ministry or the mission of enlightenment. And then it has an additional clause here. It says that so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the dominion of Satan to God. Now, that's a bit of a curious phrase. We have no problem understanding who God is. If we think of God at all, God is the great God, the Almighty, the all-powerful, the all-wise, the all-knowing. He is the one who rules the universe. We don't have a problem with that. But then it says, from the dominion, from the kingdom of Satan to God. From the literal word in the Greek here is the authority. What the Lord is saying is that the person in his depravity, the lost individual, the one who doesn't understand the gospel, the one who hasn't applied it to himself, is under the dominion and authority of Satan. Now, this is a curious concept to us. when we think of our world and we think of how Satan has rebelled and how God has condemned him and how we talk about the destiny of Satan in the scriptures, that he is destined for absolute destruction, it is a curious thing for us to realize that God has not yet put Satan in chains. God has allowed Satan to continue in his effort to deceive men. He has allowed Satan to continue in his dominion and his rule over men. But the fact is that the person who is lost, the person who is free, they'll talk about how, oh, religion is so restrictive. It's so, it binds me. It doesn't give me any freedom, and I need to escape from it. And they say they're free. Well, guess what? You're not free. You're in one kingdom or the other. You're under the authority of one being or the other. And if you refuse God, you are under the authority of Satan. The mission of enlightenment opens their eyes so that they can see, first of all, that they are in darkness, not in light. And secondly, so that they can see that they are under the dominion of Satan, and that they are not under God, and that they are lost and desperately hopeless. That is what the mission of enlightenment is. That's still talking about the purpose of the preacher. But what is the result for the believer? I'm not talking about the lost person. If someone stays in his condition and refuses to respond to the message of the preacher and refuses to let their eyes be opened, then he remains in darkness and under the dominion of Satan. But the believer, something has happened to him. There is a result. Notice the result. So that they may turn. They may turn. The result of opened eyes for a believer is that they've turned. They were in darkness. They turned to the light. They were under the dominion of Satan. They turned to a new king and came under the dominion of God. All right, so opening of their eyes, that's the job of the preacher. The result is a turning so that the individual's condition changes. They transition from one spiritual realm to another. Now, there's another result. I am sending you to open their eyes down a little bit further, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who have been sanctified by faith in me. Now, both of these results have to be true. You can't receive the inheritance, you can't receive forgiveness of sins without the turning. So the turning has to be true, but then there is also these benefits. Opened eyes enables the reception of spiritual blessing. The first part of that result is the forgiveness of sins. It is those sins that creates a barrier between man and God. It is those sins that, as we've gone through life, we didn't know any better. We were born sinners. We did evil things as a matter of course. We were in rebellion to God according to the scriptures. There is none righteous. There is no, not one. There is nobody that escapes. We're all under this condemnation. We all have these tendencies. Some of us have done many evil, grievous things. In fact, all of us have done things that are evil and grievous. The longer you live without God, the more opportunity you've had to do things that are absolutely wicked and horrible, but it doesn't take long to plunge into the depths of sin. Very young people can be sinners just as much as older people who have had a lot more time and practice at it. All right, so there is a great record of wrong that develops in a life that is apart from God. And that record of wrong is something that can be forgiven. If your eyes are open to your condition, you realize you're in darkness and under the dominion of Satan, and you turn, what God says is that the result of that ministry is that you will receive forgiveness of sins. It's like the slate is wiped clean. And the scriptures teach us that sins past, present, and future are all forgiven in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a wonderful, great, tremendous thing. But it comes after the eyes are opened and after the heart is turned and the forgiveness of sins is received. And there's one more thing that we receive as well, and that is an inheritance amongst those who have been sanctified. An inheritance amongst those who have been sanctified. So this looks forward. There is an immediate change. There is the reception of the forgiveness of sins, and there is the promise of the inheritance to come. The inheritance to come means many things. It means, of course, to live with God in heaven forever, that have eternal life. All of that is included. It means to have a role in God's kingdom in the days to come. That's included. It means to have fellowship with the saints forever. But it means also to have, the inheritance means this, it means to have perfect fellowship with God in a nature that is no longer plagued with sin. The darkness, we have turned from darkness, but we haven't eradicated the darkness as we know. And in our lives, there is a great trouble in our hearts and lives when we find ourselves slipping into our old ways or doing something that pleases self rather than pleases God. And so we return and repent, but we do have an inheritance to look forward to. That all of that will be done away. Our possession is that we will have a new nature, a resurrected body that is no longer capable of sin and capable of living in perfect fellowship with God. So this is the purpose of the preacher. That's the mission of enlightenment that Paul was sent on to preach, and there were essential results for the believer, a transmission from one kingdom to another, and then the reception of spiritual blessings. This is the essential result for the believer. But there is a critical point in this transformation that we need to understand. Remember the point of grammar. The apostle was sent to open their eyes with the result that they may turn. Now, no apostle nor any other preacher can do the turning. You know, I can't go out and accost people in the street and say, look, turn, I'll help you turn. If you'll just turn around now, and you can turn and receive the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I can't physically make somebody turn. I can't come to somebody and through my mesmerizing words sort of hypnotize them into turning. I can't do that. All I can do is open their eyes. Open their eyes. The mission is to open eyes, not to turn souls. Isn't that interesting how that is put here? I am sending you to open their eyes so that who may turn? They may turn. They may turn. Sometimes a new Christian will speak about the person who led them to the Lord, and they'll say, "He saved me." And we know what he means, but that's not really true. Only the Lord Jesus can save you, right? The preacher didn't save you. He opened your eyes. He showed you the gospel. He showed you your need. And you turned. You see, I can't turn you. You have to turn. The Christian witness opened his eyes and he turns. Why is this so? Well, men are in darkness and can't see without help. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, "But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised." Now, some will come to this verse and say that this requires the Holy Spirit to come and open the eyes and give faith. But notice our text again. I am sending you to open their eyes so that they may turn. That they may turn. It's the believing one who turns because his eyes are opened. Well, what opens the eyes? What is it that opens the eyes? All right, so I want to show you from Romans chapter 10 what opens the eyes. How then Will they call on him on whom they have not believed? That's the question. Here you have somebody who's in darkness, somebody who's under the dominion of Satan. We have somebody who is quite happy to go along in his life, living his old ways, pursuing his own self and his own will and his own agenda and the kind of life that he wants to have. How will they call on him in whom they have not believed? How are they going to change? How will they believe in him whom they have not heard? We're getting closer. And how will they hear without a preacher? And how will they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. However, they did not all heed the good news, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. So let's think about our text again. The Lord says to Paul, I am sending you to open their eyes. How is he going to do that? He's going to preach the gospel. He's going to tell them about their lost condition. He's going to tell them that they are desperate and hopeless without Christ. He's going to tell them that Lord Jesus Christ came to save them from their sins and that he is the one and only way to come to God. That's the good news. Paul was sent to that. How will they preach unless they were sent? Well, he was sent. How will they hear without a preacher? Well, there's your preacher. How will they believe in him whom they have not heard? Well, you just heard. Then how will they call on him in whom they have not believed? Well, here is how. By hearing the word, seeing the truth, and turning. That's faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. There is a confirmation even in our text. If we look at our text in Acts 26:18, he says, I am sending you to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light, and from the dominion of Satan to God, that they may receive the forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who have been sanctified by faith in me. The turning ones have been sanctified by faith in me. Now, this is Jesus speaking, by faith in Jesus. To sum up then, the Lord sends the preacher. The Lord sends the preacher. I'm using the term preacher. Obviously, Paul was a preacher here. He was an apostle. I'm a preacher. All right. It's not just a person in an office. We're talking about somebody who is speaking for God. It may be that somebody spoke to you along the way, and they said something to you that you couldn't get away from. It opened your eyes, and you began to be troubled in your soul. And you began to search out for answers. Once the eyes are open, the heart can see. There is something about the lost and depraved individual who is unable to believe, not because he's somehow deficient as a human being, but because he's blind, he's willful, he's self-centered, and he will not believe. But somehow a preacher gets to him, a speaker, and he tells him of his condition, and that message opens the eyes. It can come in the form of a sermon. It can come in the form of a personal witness. It can come in the form of a gospel tract. It can come in the form of a Bible verse. Someone can open up a Bible and read a verse, and the word that was sent has the power to produce life, and the eyes are opened. Now, when the eyes are opened, the person hearing, the person seeing, has to turn. They have to turn. We've seen the evidence in lives of people who have heard the message and they have understood. And they have had seemingly an interest, but something held them back. They realized that they were going to have to change the way they think, perhaps the way they live. They were going to have to perhaps give up things that they liked and loved and would rather live for rather than do without. They had an idol in their life that was more important to them than God. And so their eyes had been opened because someone had spoken or they had seen a word and they saw the truth and they turn away. And if you turn away, you turn away to darkness. If you turn away, you turn further and deeper into the kingdom of Satan. If you turn away, you don't receive the benefit of forgiveness of sins, and you have no inheritance of eternal life. The believer responds in faith. He turns, and he receives forgiveness, that salvation. So the mission of enlightenment enables the transformation of souls. This is what we're called to do as believers. And when we are, there's various passages, 2 Timothy, where he says to Timothy, preach the word. It doesn't just mean in the pulpit. He means in your whole life. He means in every opportunity, preach the word. Open blind eyes. And those who believe will receive. So this mission of enlightenment is our mission. It's a word that is spoken. And even today, this morning, perhaps there's somebody here whose eyes have been opened. Well, if that's so, if you're someone who's opened your eyes and said, wait a minute, I've never made that decision. And I've never made that transition. I've no conscious memory of coming to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, then today, this message is for you. It's for you to receive and to believe, to accept Jesus as your personal Savior from sin. Don't turn away. You'll turn away to greater darkness if you do. And so I would urge you to respond. And if you do, come and talk to me afterwards and be glad to spend more time talking about it. Well, the mission of enlightenment. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank you for this time that we've had to look at this verse and what it meant for the Apostle Paul, what it means for those who hear the message and see their condition and turn and are saved. And Lord, we pray that you would help each of us to have that right relationship with you that comes through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.